Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news. Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals, Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Well, election 2019 is in the books, guys. We want your insights and analysis. Jason, we'll begin with you. You know, it's still an off-year election, but a lot of people talking about what the vote from sea to shining sea says about 2020, if anything at all. What are your thoughts as far as how the vote went down in New York State Tuesday night?
Well, I think it was a little mixed bag. You know, on one hand, it was encouraging for Republicans that they didn't lose as bad as they had in other elections. So perhaps the blue tsunami is subsiding here in New York. And frankly, Republicans, conservatives, like-minded candidates picked up a number of seats in townships across the state. So that was encouraging. But some of the bigger posts, for example, the Erie County executive or even out in Long Island, one of the county execs out there, definitely went to the Democrats. And so there's a problem for the Republicans in the suburbs on the horizon they're going to need to pay attention to in 2020.
Yeah, I want to ask you about registration rolls in a minute, Jason. So hang on, but let's head to Harrisburg. Michael, there seem to be some problems in a couple of counties with the voting machines. Of course, this is the first year that they're using these new machines as ordered by the governor. Your thoughts on how the vote went down in your state on Tuesday?
Well, first, with the voting machines, you know, it does raise concerns and questions among the public related to, can they trust the system, even with the shift of new machines that have paper backups? Some of those counties, like York County, the paper was cut to the wrong size, so they were jamming in machines, and that immediately gets on social media and causes people to question, is this a fair election, and are people messing with us in the government? But beyond that, looking at what happened in Pennsylvania, I think the big issue is outside money coming in that really made a big difference in the Philadelphia area, especially significant sums from people like George Soros and Planned Parenthood spending on local elections like the DA race in Delaware County. That whole county flipped to Democrat control, the city or the county council in Delaware County becoming Democrat controlled for the first time in the Civil War. But in Western Pennsylvania, the other direction, with Republicans taking control in some counties where they have not had it before, like Westmoreland and Washington counties.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of outside money in the months to come, Michael, so get ready. Pennsylvania is so pivotal for 2020. Jason, you talked about maybe New York is not as Smurf blue as it used to be. I don't know what a shade lower than that is, but the new voter registration rolls showed that there are fewer Republicans and more Democrats in the state than there were in 2016. What's responsible for that?
Well, there's a couple of things that are happening. One, you definitely see people leaving the state, and likely those are people that are paying the taxes here. Those are people that are conservative-leaning people that are moving out of state. And as far as the new enrollment, who's coming in? Well, in a lot of places in the state, if you want to be involved politically, you're going to register as a Democrat. I mean, you look at New York City, you look at some of the urban areas. It's difficult to register as a Republican knowing that you're going to be out in the political wasteland for a season. So I think out of default positions, many people are registering as Democrat in this state.
I was moved, Michael, by the testimony of a representative this week who put forth a bill out of personal experience, losing a child to a miscarriage 40 years ago. And it brought tears to my eyes hearing him explain why he is pushing for this. Planned Parenthood is pushing back, and for the life of me, I cannot understand why they would oppose fetal remain legislation, strictly voluntary for parents who lose a baby to miscarriage. What are your thoughts?
Well, the representative you speak of is Representative Frank Ryan, Colonel Frank Ryan, serving the United States Marine Corps. He's a wonderful Christian gentleman who is strongly pro-life, and his legislation basically would require healthcare facilities to dispose of the remains from miscarriages or abortions humanely through either cremation or burial, and then offer to parents the options for burial or cremation or to donate to medical science if they so choose. But I think Planned Parenthood's opposition to this ultimately centers around the fact that this bill highlights the humanity of the unborn child, whether loss of life because of a miscarriage or because of an abortion. The fact is that is a human being that whose life has ended and deserves respect. It's not the same as hazardous waste or medical waste. It is a human being that deserves to be treated even after death with respect.
Mm. These drag queen story times are all over the country, and it's hitting home in the southern tier of New York next week, Jason. There will be a reading of the book Frozen by drag queens at the Steele Library in Elmira. Had a chance to talk to the library this week. They said, hey, if you don't like it, don't come. Some would argue this is brainwashing at best and child abuse at worst. What can Christians do to stop these sorts of events from happening in their communities?
Well, the bottom line is it's going to be a long-term solution, but people have got to get more involved in their local governments, including their library associations. One of the reasons why we're seeing these types of things happening in libraries is because there are very many liberally leaning people that are involved in those organizations, and these have a local government structure that have oversight of the libraries. And so people need to get involved in their local government, including the libraries, to go ahead and make a difference on these issues.
Yeah, we'll see what happens next week with that. Michael, Ed Brian Sims' gay conversion therapy bill was announced earlier this month. It might have been even in October. Is that gaining any traction? And I know you would fear a big fallout if it were ever to pass. Does it have any chance in Pennsylvania?
What's unlikely, given the current makeup of the legislature, as well as the reputation of Brian Sims, who accosted those pro-life sidewalk counselors outside the Planned Parenthood abortion clinic earlier this year, famously accosting them. So his legislation, generally speaking, whatever it is not likely to get much traction in the legislature. The big challenge we face right now in Pennsylvania is that local communities are enacting or considering such ordinances, like Allegheny County in the Pittsburgh area is considering just such a bill. And that's the challenge. And it goes to what Jason just said, which is people of good values and of faith need to get involved in local government, because that oftentimes is where the real battle is.
Yeah, and we've highlighted what's wrong with the culture. I always like to spotlight those wins wherever we can get them. Jason, New Hope Family Services got a temporary win. I know you'll take it in federal court. What's going on here?
As listeners may remember, we've been praying and watching what's happening with New Hope Family Services, who essentially the state has said they'd have to close their doors if they would not allow adoption services and place kids with same-sex households. Well, thankfully now, a court here in New York, an appeals court, has weighed in and said that for now, New Hope can continue to keep serving families and those kids that are looking for forever homes. Now, this doesn't mean they can take on new cases. This will allow them to go forward as they presently are. But the strong indicator is that if the appeals court is allowing this to move forward, the appeals court believes that ultimately they will win on the merits of the case and will have religious liberty restored for New Hope Family Services.
All right. And Michael, we'll end with you. I know it's a ways off, but this is a big event that we want folks who listen to this program and support your guys' organizations to put on their calendar and make a point of attending this pro-life rally next spring at the state capitol. Want to know why you decided to do this now. What's the impetus behind this?
Well, it's May 18th, 2020 at the Pennsylvania State Capitol. It's the first ever Pennsylvania March for Life. We've teamed with the National March for Life in sponsoring this event, and we're hoping many thousands of people will turn out, and that's to make a pro-life statement. Pennsylvania has historically been a pro-life state, but what we're seeing to our neighbors to the north in New York, and even now what's potentially going to happen in Virginia with the Democrats taking control, pro-abortion Democrats taking control in that state, we don't want to have that happen here, and we need citizens, pro-life citizens, to make a stand, to let the legislature and our governor know and the state know that we are a pro-life state and we want it to stay that way.
All right, and that'll have to be the last word this week, but there are so many issues we didn't get a chance to discuss this week. If you want, head to the website. Michael, where can folks check you out?
PAFamily.org.
And in New York State, Jason?
AlbanyUpdate.com.